TV. We are excited to have a show Monday through Friday live here with you guys, same time, same station. Tonight's really exciting program. We're getting back to our roots of inspiration via the universe. On Fridays, we like to talk about things that are inspiring, things that rely to health. And sorry, just reading a message here. Things in relation to health and things that are empowering to remind you that you're an awesome being. And what's unfortunate about this world is that we often forget how awesome we are. So hopefully you find a little inspiration tonight. We're going to talk to a really, really inspiring gentleman. Him and I happened to find each other via the universe. We got in contact initially via Instagram. We were just inspired by the things that each other would post or write, and we started talking, and it turns out we have a lot in common. And what's really interesting in this life, and something that I like to pay attention to, is what kind of people do I attract when I'm creating a certain vibration within myself? And I found him at a time when I was feeling optimal and feeling in line with my purpose and just feeling overall beautiful, joyful, happy feelings. So I'd like to keep in contact with those people and keep them close and use them as a tool in my toolbox, because I'm not always 1,000%. I'm not always 100%. And when I have days like that, I like to call my friends and say, you know, buddy, what's going on? Or what's going on in your life? And tell me a story. And we offer each other that type of exchange. So he's going to join us tonight and tell us about all the awesome things that he does and why he does what he does and why he is who he is. And I hope that you guys find joy in his words and his wisdom as I do. He's a very spiritual man, meaning that he's in touch with what you would call our creator or God or the universe. He spends a lot of time meditating or praying or intending, whatever you call it. And he's just a really awesome dude. He started his own business. He's an entrepreneur and recent, almost college graduate. He runs a website called Cool for Life with a K. And he's got a really amazing vision for the world. And he's pretty much a humanitarian. He calls himself an entrepreneur and a conduit of the universe, which I love to hear. And he speaks with intention, and it's really beautiful to hear, comparable to music even. So he should be calling us in a couple minutes, all the way from the East Coast. So it's past 11 there, and I'm super grateful to host him. His name is Carrick Wise, like Derek, but with a K. And if you want to check out his website in the meantime, I'll read it to you. It's Cool for Life, KOOLFORLIFE.com. He's got a mission statement there. He's got a shop, a blog, videos, and links to his Tumblr. So you can read his blog or check out some of his awesome shirts, or just read his mission statement. I'll read you guys a couple things here and get an idea of what we're going to be dealing with. He says, being cool for life is being the complete product of yourself. It is understanding who you are, no matter where you are. Being cool for life means that you can never be defined. Being cool for life is your personal understanding with God, that you will be yourself no matter what. Being cool for life means you look adversity in the face with a smile. Being cool for life means you only change for the better, never for the worst. Cool for life is a lifestyle that represents the pure at heart and all those who are determined to turn the dreams in their heads into a reality. Cool for life is a symbol for all the people in the world that we were put here to change it. Cool for life means that you are the one that controls whether you succeed or fail. You are the one that controls whether you're happy or sad. The reason I am cool for life is because I have a personal understanding with God that if I put my mind to something, anything is possible. Success is my only option because failing, which is a figment of our imaginations and is worse than dying, I am cool for life because my purpose exceeds my actual being. Woo-wee! Those words are more than words. They're beautiful, and it really is a song to me. And I'm really excited to share with you guys a conversation with Mr. Cool for Life. All my guests who join me on this program call me, and we have an organic conversation. Nothing's planned ahead, and I'm really excited to hear what comes out of our talking. And I gotta give you guys a heads up. I'm using a new machine tonight because I've had perpetual technological issues. I don't know if I'm just meant to live an analog life and not touch machines, or if they just spontaneously combust while I touch them for fun. It's like a new talent I have, I suppose. So hopefully this one doesn't blow up mid-program. If it does, I apologize. And I don't know what I'll be able to do about it, but I'm just giving you a fair warning that it may or may not happen. So where are you, my dear friend? Give us a call. He has more here on his mission statement. I suppose we'll just continue reading it along here. The reason I created Cool for Life was to help bring people together. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. Your gender doesn't matter, and neither does what you personally believe in. We are all people with spirits, and we should all treat one another equally. Cool for Life represents all the people that I know that this world can be better. But the only way we can make it better is if we do it ourselves. You see, they can only control the mass population if you divide the population. If we all stood together as one, we would literally control the world. Love will set you free, and it will be our liberation. Cool for Life means you won't stand for inequality. You won't stand for injustice. You won't allow pain and defeat to enter your heart. At 29, the best quote to describe me is that I know enough to know that I don't know too much. But what I do know is that we were all created to be great. Not just some of us, but all of us. And if not in this lifetime, maybe in the next. Spirit is what keeps you connected to the source that created you. That same source allows us to manifest anything we can create through our will. So if we really want to make the world better, we need to take accountability for the parts we play in all the things that are wrong with the world and collectively make it better together. In order to do that, we must have a pay it forward way of thinking. Eventually, I will build Cool for Life into an organization that will help young adults better their lives and get them ready for the future. In return from each young person I help, the one request that I make is that they find someone in their lives and help them with something that they cannot do solely by themselves. When you help this person accomplish this goal, you teach them to pay it forward. This creates a system of people helping people. You can dance along with the universe. It will dance back with you. We were created to connect it and to respect and live among each other in peace and harmony. Ooh-wee, here comes our friend. Let's add him to our group call. Hey there, this is LaVon. Thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing? This is Carrick. How's everything?
Oh. I'm so excited to be talking to you. Thank you so much for calling us, Carrick. I've just been reading to our audience.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said thank you for calling in, first of all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's very much a pleasure. I've been sharing our audience your mission statement on your website, and I just got to the end of what I'm calling a song. It's beautifully written and so inspiring. And
thank you.
It really is. And I'm just got to the part that we should pay it forward, because this creates a system of people helping people. And if you dance along with the universe, it'll dance back with you. I love that. So tell us about what you do and why you do it and how you do it and what you want to do with it in the future.
I mean, Cooper Life started out as a, as a nickname. It started originally as a nickname, and within the nickname, it took me a few years to like put it together in the sense of can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you. It took me it was a 10-year process. It started out as a nickname. I wanted to evolve my name. My friends was calling me Cool K, and when I changed the nickname from Cool K to Cool for Life, it just was a name. And a couple of years ago, you know, I had lost my grandfather, and he passed away of dementia. And when he passed away, I just wanted to kind of do something with my life. And I already had an associate's degree in human services, so I decided to go back to school and get my bachelor's in social work. In this process, I always knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I took the name, like this name, Cool for Life, sounds like a movement. It sounds like something that could be like a lifestyle brand. It sounds like something people could say. I could hear famous people, rappers, regular people, individuals that go to work every day. I could hear them saying the name Cool for Life. So I decided to turn Cool for Life into a company. I filled the paperwork out, and I put it in, and I created Cool for Life, the company, Cool for Life, Inc. And my first mission was to start a blog, which I did. And the following summer, which was last summer, I started my own t-shirt line. So that was the whole process of Cool for Life.
I love it. I really love it. What's your favorite blog post on your website?
My favorite blog post on my website is probably going to be Unconditional Love. I wrote a blog because I grew up with my grandparents. And being that I grew up with my grandparents, I wasn't able to grow up with my real father, my real mother, and I kind of like held a lot of animosity and hate toward my parents. And as I got older, I started to go through my own personal experiences in life, I started to realize that you can't really hold what people go through. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people go through good things, sometimes people go through bad things, but it's those experiences that make them better. And I couldn't hold the negative experiences against my mother nor my father. So Unconditional Love was basically me allowing her to, or me not holding anything against her, I'd rather say. So hello.
Yeah, dude, that's really powerful.
Okay, thanks her for having me, and I just appreciate her in the moment. She had a stroke a couple of months ago, and she was in the hospital when she didn't think I was going to come, and I went and I visited her on her birthday, and we had a great time, and she was really grateful for me coming, and it just made me write that blog, and I actually read the blog to her for her birthday, and it just showed the connection that we had, and I was really proud that I was able to let go of the pain that I had, or I felt throughout my life, and focus more on the love and the opportunity that we had in front of us.
I want to take a moment to acknowledge that, because it's really important, and it's actually right in line with something that I try and teach our listeners, is that things aren't happening to you in this life. Things are happening for you, and if you change your perspective, you can find the moment and turn it into a lesson, and then you can allow it to make you better. And so many of us carry around these hurts and these traumas, and we let them hinder us. And when you're able to forgive, which was one of the hardest things in this life, it's really very healing, not only to you, but to the other party. And I think what you just explained to us is like such a beautiful real life.
Wait, you kind of breaking up. Is there a way we could set it a connection?
You can't hear me that well, unfortunately.
No, I can hear you, but you like you go in and out a little bit.
Oh man, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I've been having the worst luck with computers and internets lately.
Okay, but I can hear you a little better now.
Okay, but what I was saying is that you just explained like one of the hardest lessons in life, which is forgiveness, and how healing can it be if we can practice that in our lives.
To interject to what you're saying, can you hear me clear?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, well, to interject to what you're saying is, for me to further what Cool for Life is, Cool for Life, you got to understand something. I was a young man that my mother, she did, like, I guess, go through the hardships of her life. She did drugs, and, you know, I came out with a lot of delays. I was labeled as a drug crack baby. After that, I was diagnosed with ADD or ADHD. I got labeled. I had to go through so many different trials and tribulations with society, with people not fitting in or not fitting in with society or not fitting in with the status quo. And when I was 11, I got diagnosed with getting lupus. So there was a lot of different parameters with my behavior and the things that I was dealing with in my life that kind of, like, put me in a position where, like, I didn't fit in or people didn't necessarily relate to me. I was always intelligent. I always had a great state of mind, but I went through a lot as a child. And I guess around my junior year in high school, I made this basketball team, and I got my first girlfriend. I lost my virginity. And as I got older, I started to add more to my characteristics. I started to come more into myself, and the nickname Cool K came in when I was younger. So Cool for Life was not just a nickname, it was more so me showing my evolution, because I was labeled, people talked about me. I felt like I missed certain parameters of family structure, and I missed having certain opportunities of being around my father or my mother and fitting in with society. So once I kind of got balanced with that, Cool for Life was kind of an interpretation of my reality. Like, I will forever be Cool for Life no matter what comes to me, no matter whether it be somebody passing away, no matter whether it be a circumstance in life, no matter whether it be something I'm dealing with in a relationship issue. At the end of the day, I will forever stay balanced. I will forever know who I am. I will forever be comfortable who I am, no matter where I'm at in this universe. And I will always give back, because I feel obliged to give back. Because if it wasn't for the universe, if it wasn't for certain people, if it wasn't for certain organizations, I would not be the person that I am today. So there's no way that I could sit back now and just, you know, just be successful for me. No, I want to be successful for all of us. I want to create opportunity for all of us.
I love it. I love that. Because you recognize that you're a piece of a whole puzzle. You're not just an individual. You're part of an entire ecosystem. And that's wonderful. I wish more people knew the power within them, and even more so, power in numbers, which is something that you believe in too.
Yes, the power of, say that again, the power of what?
The power of people in numbers.
I think that in this society where we're at, like, how I view this society, I'm 30 years old, I'm a young man from Brooklyn, New York. My structure, my person that I am, I've been created through unconditional love, and the experiences that I've been through have molded the person that I am today. So I probably would say that I think that where we at in this world is kind of the best way I could describe this world is the Matrix, the movie The Matrix, the first movie. And I think that in this society that we allow so many different things to distract us, whether it be the media, whether it be hate, whether it be racism, whether it be us just not paying attention to the greatness within us. I feel like that religion, for example, is a distraction.
It is.
I feel like there's a lot of great components within religion, but I feel like that it distracts us from us being human beings, us loving one another, from who we are instead of what we are labeled as. And I think we have to get away from the labels. We have to get away from the disconnect of spirit. We have to get away from the hate and all the killing and all the negative energy. We can't just stand by and watch this world destruct, you know, because it's not okay. It's not okay, and that's why I created Cool for Life. Because it's not okay what's going on in this world. It's not okay that we're being brainwashed. It's not okay that we're being controlled. It's not okay that we're comfortable with just... A little service.
It's okay. I thought it was me and my wonderful love with machines.
That's okay. What were you saying now?
You were talking about why you created Cool for Life and that you just see the world kind of in a self-destructing manner, and you brought up the point that if you empower the people, you can change the world, which is essentially my mission too. And I'm so happy to join forces with you. I was telling the audience earlier that it's really important to pay attention to who the universe brings into your life when you're feeling a certain feeling. And I was feeling so optimal and on really like my authentic self and just beautiful feelings of joy and like inspiration when you and I met. And every time you and I talk, I'm on that same vibe. So I think that's a really important thing to realize in this world. What do you think about that?
I think that the person in poverty who exists, I think that they know that that the only way that you can control billions of people is by mind control, because you can't touch spirit. In my opinion, spirit. The only thing that you can do is control the mind and the body. So they control us through different vices, through different perspectives of television and media and radio and these people that we look up to that don't necessarily lead us in the right direction. I think that if we quiet our minds and we disconnect ourselves. I read this quote. It said the illiterate of the 21st century would not be those that can't read or write. The illiterate of the 21st century would be those that cannot learn and unlearn.
Yes.
So I feel that a lot of the stuff that we learn in the society, we are taught to control it. And I think that if you want to maintain your balance and maintain controlling your reality, I think that you have to basically connect with spirit. And you have to quiet your mind through meditation.
Mm.
And I think that this is the world that we live in, and it's not the same everywhere. I think more so in the Western Hemisphere, in the United States, I think we are more so focusing on symbols and beings that can save us. And I personally don't feel like we can be saved. My religion is love, and I believe in a higher being. I believe in a higher source. I believe that my spirit has been around for eons, but mm-hmm. I believe that all we have to do is quiet our mind. If we quiet our mind, our spirit will connect us and direct us to where we need to go. The people that we need to hang around, the situations that we need to do, everything will come together in the correct puzzle if we listen to our spirit.
I couldn't agree more. And I want to remind our audience that we have several guided meditations on our channel. I've done several on this program, so you guys can check those out in the archives if you need some assistance quieting your mind. And meditation isn't something that you have to do sitting down in a quiet room. It's simply focusing your attention, and it can be as simple as remembering to breathe deeply. or trying not to flip people off when you drive. You can meditate on anything. Do you agree with that, sir?
I agree with that. I believe that, I think that people misconstrue praying and meditation and be, okay, let me give a perspective. I only can speak for myself.
Okay.
Now, my perspective of praying, we got, this is my perspective of the human race. I believe that we were created by God, or we created by a higher being, so we are all higher beings. And within that higher beings, my perspective is that human beings are beings that are created through a vibration and through light. And through that vibration and light, we vibrate toward what we think about. So this is why controlling your thoughts is very important, because your thoughts and your words control and create your reality. So when you talk about meditation, people misconstrue meditation and praying, right? So you have people, say, for instance, Christianity. People will say, okay, I could get on my knees and I could pray to my God. My God could be Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ is the Son of God, so I'm going to pray to Jesus Christ, and he's going to give me what I want. But it doesn't necessarily work like that. We're beings of vibration and light. So we vibrate toward things that's on our frequency. So if you want things that's high, like wealth and love and joy and peace, you have to vibrate at a level, right? So when I look at praying and I look at meditation, meditation is a form of quieting your mind and keeping yourself focused on the same thought. Now, that thought process can create a vibration that will lead you to the reality that you seek. Now, you might think that when you get on your knees and you pray and you receive, but it doesn't look like that. If you want to receive something, you have to manifest in your life. You have to spend around and you have that opportunity.
I agree with you. Part of that, I studied biology for about 10 years now. Got into some level.
I'm so sorry.
I said I couldn't agree with you more, and I've studied biology for 10 years now. In my lab, gotten to quantum level. I can say I've got to be at our vibration, and our family commitment. Is that it better?
Okay.
You rock, Jewel. Thank you. Yay! We're back live on the radio with our guests, thanks to our awesome network here at UCY.TV. Yes. So thankful. Thanks, Jules. Are you there, my friend, Carrick?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Well, we were just getting into quantum theory, which is the most exciting part of my life, I'm not going to lie. I was telling you that I've been studying biology for about 10 years now, and I've gotten to the quantum field. And via my studies, I've realized that we literally are beings of light, my friend, and are magically via photons communicate with light. And that's what we are, essentially. And like, alone is so powerful. Like, imagine if people knew that they were a vibration and that they were in control of it. Like, what do you think would change from understanding that notion alone?
I read something a while back, and I can't remember exactly what it was to give you the exact title, but in reference to what it meant, or the meaning of the piece that I read, it basically said that in order for us to evolve, actually, it was the Celestine Prophecies. And the Celestine Prophecies is about like some archaeologists within Peru, that they were in Peru, and they found these pyramids or these tunnels, and they found these tablets, and the tablets basically, they gave a perspective of the human race and how they can evolve into higher beings. And within this perspective, in the Celestine Prophecies, it said that in order for us to evolve into our higher selves, we have to exchange our energy. We have to exchange our light. Now, when you look at all the devices and all the negative devices that disconnect us, the hate, the racisms, the gender-based things, the things that make us look at people differently, they disconnect us and they don't allow us to exchange our light. But when you look at, when we do exchange our light, say, for instance, me and you, I met you through the internet. I met you through a spiritual experience. And through this experience, as we exchange our light, we both heighten our power. And I think that people don't understand this, and they don't apply this to their lives because they don't necessarily view themselves as that. Because this society, in certain aspects, teaches us to view other beings as our saviors. So, you know, you have to live a certain way so you can so that you can go to heaven. And when you go to heaven, this being will forgive you for your sins, but that's all an illusion through my perspective. You will have to take account of everything that you do on this planet, and there's nobody that can save you but you.
And
so answer your question, I think that it's going to take time, and I think that the process is happening. That's why I created Cool for Life. If you go to coolforlife.com, you will see all the different perspectives of people from India, from Hawaii, from Detroit, from all over that share their perspective of light and love and connection of unity. And even look at how me and you created our relationship. If it could continue to happen like this, if people like me and you exist, that means that we're on the right path. Me and you are on the path, just like how Neo and Morpheus and Trinity was on the path of the Matrix. Now, I don't know which one I am, but I know that I am a part of the piece to the puzzle to change the world.
I love it. I love it. And I believe you because I feel you when you speak. And it's beautiful. It feels like music to me. It really does. And I love talking to you.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate that.
I love your vision.
I love talking to you.
Well, I hope our audience loves hearing us talk too. I'm so inspired by our conversation. I just curious, like, tell me what is the most profound or beautiful experience you've had as a being and with connecting to your higher self or spirit? Like, you've been through lots of trials and tribulations, but what was a defining moment for you in your experience? Something that made you go, holy moly, like I'm part of something bigger than this body.
I mean, my defining moment in my life, it has nothing to do with necessarily, Okay, my defining moment was my relationship and my time that I got to spend with my great grandmother, Edna Mae Wise. Within the time I spent with her, I was unable to leave the hospital, and my great grandmother took me in as a child and she raised me, and she was probably over 60 years old. So a woman of that age should not have necessarily been raising the child. And she took me in and she provided me with the certain components needed for me to be the person that I am today. She provided me with unconditional love. She provided me with patience. She provided me with a perspective to expose myself with spirit, because, you know, a spirit is a process. It's not necessarily an event. And I think that my time spent with her teaching me how to do garden work, her teaching me, she showed me, like, you never charge family. You always treat people well. You never judge people based on their skin color or their gender. You judge them based on their who they are and what they present to you as a person. So my time spent with her for the 17 years was my moment, I guess, my aha moment. It was my perspective for me to be my best self and understand what unconditional love is. So that was my moment.
That's dude. And I love that from our society. And a lot of the youth don't get that, their elders, and they don't get to spend time like learning their acquired lessons. And it's like almost getting the cheat sheet in school, because you get the test answers. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, and we need that in our society, and that's something that's desperately lacking. And I think mm-hmm. that's why you and I connect, is because I too spent my youth with elders, and mm-hmm. I recognized as a young person that we're failing as a society because we put these people in a home and we forget them, mm-hmm. and all of their knowledge dies with them. And what is the point mm-hmm. of that? Mm-hmm. So I spent time with my elders, people who weren't even my blood, just to hear them. I learned so mm-hmm. much. It really shaped me and changed. And makes me happy to hear that you have that same type of foundation.
I mean, my perspective within Cool for Life is that this is why when I thought about creating a blog and a website, I said, okay, when people come to coolforlife.com, what are they going to see? Like, there's people out here that's lonely. There's people out here that's sad. There's people out here that's been abused. There's people out here that don't have places to stay. There's people out there that just want somebody to be in their corner and to give them a piece of love and acknowledgement that they exist and that they're important, and they're not getting that. So I say, you know, when I created this website, what would inspire people? What would bring people together? If I can share and bear my spirit, how can I connect to other spirits? Somebody that's lonely, somebody that wants to just feel inspired, somebody that just wants to feel like somebody gets them. So that was my goal, to be a support system for people that I've never met. You can be all the way in Africa. You could be in India. It doesn't matter. If you read my blog, you can get a universal perspective of love. You can get a universal perspective of connection. You can understand that there's somebody in this world that gets you, that understands you, and that wants to guide you to be your best self.
But you're telling me you don't have some sort of corporate agenda. You're just like a nice guy that wants other people to be happy.
I mean, my agenda is this. My goal is to create a company that within the next 10 years, I create a company that on a corporate level, on a philanthropic level, on a community organizational level, I create a company that services people, services the world. I want to be as influential as Dr. King. I want to shift the consciousness of the entire world to a place of love, because like you said, in order for us to get to that place of enlightenment, in order for us to get to that new place where we evolve as a human race, we have to start loving one another. So that's the basis of Cool for Life. That's the basis of everything, so that we can connect And in that connection, within that unity, we can build, we can use, just like how me and you have conversations and we exchange our ideas, we exchange our light and our spirit, and we come up with mindsets and a perspective to change this world. That's what it's all about.
I agree. And to touch on what you were saying earlier in regards to how our society kind of puts people in a mental mindset that is destructive. And like, how, what are some of your tips or real things people can do now to kind of like, to use your Matrix metaphor, unplug from the Matrix? Like, what do you suggest?
In order for you to unplug from the Matrix, I watch a lot of TV. I read a lot in order to keep myself on current events. This is my thing. In order for you, it's like you got to play a game in this world, right? And in this world that we live in, it's like you got to be jacked in the Matrix where you have full consciousness and understanding of yourself and everything around you, but then you still have to go to work and you still have to raise your family, and you still have to maintain your relationship, you still have to be in your community. So how do you find that balance? How you find that balance is that you have to make sure that you have the knowledge, you have the grid to identify. How do you get the grid to identify the goods and the bads that society provides? Your spirit. Now, how do you connect to your spirit? You connect to your spirit by meditating. You connect to your spirit by loving yourself and loving the people around you. You connect to your spirit by doing, by living in the moment, by not letting the circumstances around you control you, because your spirit can't be controlled. It can't be boxed in. It's eternal. Mm-hmm. So as long as you connect to the peace and the joy and the love that's inside you, it will direct you or redirect you, just like a computer. You know, computers have certain softwares to redirect you, and if they see a virus or they detect a virus, they make sure they warn you and they tell you what to do or what software to get. That's what spirit is. Spirit is our physical tom-tom. It's our physical navigational system that's going to lead us into eternal bliss. Before we could create heaven, when we die, we have to create heaven here. We got to learn how to control our minds. We got to learn how to connect. The problem is, it's not enough love. It's not enough connection. We've been convinced that if we hate on one another, if my pursuing success, you know, if I have to step over you or step on you, then I'm going to do whatever's necessary for me to get what I need. I can just deal with that. It's people out there that's homeless, that's not eating, that's not getting the resources needed, and that could just be a part of life. That type of way, we're doomed for destruction. Hate will destroy the world. Love will save it. That's one of my T-shirts.
It's beautiful, man. And it's like Einstein said, you cannot fix the world's problems within the same mindset in which they were created.
No, that's insanity.
We need to change our perspective so we can alter our world. And the way we do that is by empowering each other in our personal power. And I love that that's your message. And I support you 100%. And I think it's really important what you're doing for people.
It's more so, I think the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. We're a society that becomes very repetitive, and we think that we could continue within wars, we could continue within famine, we could continue with man-made medications, we could continue with global warming, we could continue to destroy the planet, and now we're going to get a different outcome. No, we're not going to get a different outcome. If we want to see change, if we want to see evolution, if we want to see this world get better, then we have to redirect and we have to implement something different. So instead of the wars, we have to implement love. Instead of poverty, we have to implement the resources and the opportunity available for all people to succeed. Instead of medications, we have to start getting more connected to nature, more connected to things of plants and things that really help you get better, instead of really just these medications that we're taking, they don't make us better, they don't heal us. They just, you know, they kind of like, you know, it's like sweeping something under the rug. Like the dirt, it doesn't look like it's not there, but if you ever lift up the rug, you're going to have more dirt in your house than you ever thought. So you're going to have to eventually take that rug out. You're going to have to really clean your body out. So I think people are just, like I said, they're empowering themselves with the wrong information. Just like the Matrix. The people in the Matrix didn't know they were being controlled. They didn't know that they were being used as an energy source. They just knew that they were living their everyday life. They were living their everyday repetitive life. Take this job. We're going to give you this job, and you're going to work this job for 30 years. Why do you have to work a job for 30 years? Why can't you have enough available resources to succeed just like the 1%? Why is this world created and set up like this? Why is nobody asking questions? There's billions of people here. The people are we are the power. We control this. Power is within the people. But we've been convinced that the power is within government, religions, false gods. No, no, no. Bring it right back to the people. Because without the people, there will be nothing to control. But the people got to remember who they are.
No, it's fine. I feel it, man. And I'm curious, in your mind and your knowledge of history, where do you think we forgot to live with the land and we forgot to honor our ancestors and live in our truth? Like, where in our society do you think the elite took control of the masses?
There's a reason and a purpose for everything that exists within this world, right? So within contrast, we get better. Within good and bad, right? If there was just good, we wouldn't understand. There would be no contrast, so you would just know good. If there were bad, if it was just bad, there would be no contrast. You would just know bad. So within the eons, within the years, I think that the purpose for all of this, the purpose for all of these wars, for all of the death, for all of the negative things that have happened in this world, I think is to lead us to a better place. I think that these circumstances and these situations happen to help us to open our minds and our spirits. Like, you know what? Like this, like take for instance the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement showed us that you take a demographic of people of color, African American people, all people of color. At one point in time, we were hated. The entire world hated us. We were condemned to having a certain perspective, and we were labeled to be a certain type of people. Now, certain people took it within themselves and say, you know what? This is not right. What's happening is not right. You guys are just trying to get free label, and you're exploiting a whole demographic of people. So we fought through love, through connection, through unity, through community organizing, through fighting the government. We got ourselves in the perspective where we could have a black president, or we could have equal opportunity, and we could have people that view us for who we are and not what we look like. So the same perspective applies for what we're going through right now: poverty, war, immigration, disease. If we want to make things better, then we're going to have to take a stand. If you learn anything from history, I will always forever use the civil rights movement. If you don't like the way things are, then you have to take a stand to make it better. It's not going to be easy. Was the civil rights movement easy? No. We lost thousands. We lost millions. Millions of us died. The freedom riders. You have a bunch of different activists and people that wanted to see things better. People that wasn't even activists, regular white and black people that just wanted to stand for something. They died. They got murdered.
Testing.
What was the outcome?
One, two, three.
The outcome was right where we are.
Are you
right
there
now,
my friend?
I'm here.
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you again. Yay.
Okay.
Thank you, Network, once again for saving our conversation.
Yes, I'm here.
Yay. So what were we saying, my dear?
What I was saying is that if we could learn anything from our history, I use the civil rights movement as an example. The civil rights movement was a movement of all nationalities of people that standed for love, freedom for all, and for justice for all. And it wasn't easy. A lot of people died. A lot of people experienced a lot of bad things. But the outcome was that we are able to sit in this day and age, in this world, and we don't judge each other. Some of us don't judge each other based on our skin color, based on our nationalities. We judge each other based on who we are as human beings. because none of those titles really matter. So if history has taught us anything, if we want to see the change in the world, then we're going to have to be that change. Nobody's going to come and save us. The government is not going to fix our problems. Religion is not going to fix our problems. If we want to see the world better, then we got to make the world better. That's it. If we don't take the proper steps and we don't make the right formula where it works for everybody, things are not going to get better. We're going to have to take a stand. And that's why I created Cool for Life. That's why you have this radio show. We're going to have to take a stance right now.
I love it. And we're talking to people all over the world right now. And I'm so grateful to have this honor to talk to them and share with them perspectives, not only my own, but wonderful spirits and souls like you. And I just want to commend you and take this moment to thank you for everything that you do and let you know that it is valid and it is appreciated.
Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. I'm like I said, I'm inspired by Cool for Life. And I was sharing with the audience earlier that even though it's my job to be a converter of negative into positive, I'm not always my best. And in these times when I'm not my best, I recognize that it's okay to take a moment and go, hey, friend, I need some advice, or I want to have a talk, or reach out to people, because people will always bring you back to reality, and reality is love. And when you share a connection with somebody, you got to honor it and you got to cherish it and you got to work for it. Just like you got to work on honoring yourself, you got to work on honoring your friends. So I'm glad that you and I were finally able to honor each other and share a conversation with our audience here and hopefully inspire them. We talked about a lot of things tonight, mostly pertaining to power of the self. And we've got just a couple more minutes. You want to wrap up all your thoughts, my friend?
I will wrap up my thoughts by just sharing a little short piece that I wrote some months ago. It says that hate is a disease that will lead to our destruction. History has shown us the outcome of both sides. We saw what they did to Malcolm X, and we saw what they did to Dr. King. It doesn't matter whether you're violent or nonviolent. If you stand in the way of the oppressor, society will do anything to stop you. That's not just an opinion, that's a fact. We are conquered as a human race because the entire human race is divided. We let titles like nationality separate us. We let career titles, money, and hate separate us. If the entire human race stuck together, nothing could stop us. Every government in the world knows that. The power belongs to the people, now and forever. There is a big difference between structure and control, and don't you ever forget that. I think the problem is too many people are focusing on the paradise that comes when you die. I'm sorry to say that. That's an illusion. You can't go to paradise until you create paradise here on earth. The same that is above is the same that is below. Your power lies within this very moment. What are you going to do to evolve into your best self? You can sit around and complain and sit in your pain, or you can use your pain as an engine to get where you want to be in life. The power is within you. You want to be your best self. If you want to see this world change, if you want to see things get better, then it starts with our individual It starts with our individual motivation right now. As a person, what are you going to do to compel yourself and compel your world to be better? You can make the world better just by smiling, by saying hello to somebody, by helping, pay it forward. Do something for somebody that they can't do for themselves. And when they thank you and when they ask you what can you do for them or what they can do for you, you tell them to do that for somebody else. And if we do that, no matter where we are, in the United States, in Africa, in India, in California, if we continue to pay it forward, I guarantee you when you wake up one day, you're going to see the world that you want to live in. You're not going to wish that you can die just so you can go to heaven, because you're going to be comfortable in the world that you created.
Woo-wee! I swear, somebody needs to put some beats together and put those words on top of it, because that's pure music. I love it, dude. Thank you. Thank you for those
words. Thank you so much for having me.
I love your t-shirts. I'm going to get me a t-shirt, and I'm going to be cool for life. And we're going to check back with you, brother. Catch us on Monday, everybody.
Thank you.
And Tarek, much love to you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much. Peace. You take care. I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.